All Eyes on Fishing with Josh Sheldon, Brad Qualley, and Mitch Peterson, leading you to the next level.
Welcome back to All Eyes on Fishing. We've had a few series now where we've talked about getting out on the boat, but today we want to really concentrate this time of year of still remembering to get those kids out fishing, because there's a lot of things that you can do right now from shore. The panfish are really, really active still, and with the shorter days, you still have some warm waters up by shore, so those panfish are still holding up on shore. And it's a great time of year to get those kids out and get them their crappie, their bluegill, things like that. So we want to, for those that haven't taken their kids out, or they take them out and they just don't know what to do, we want to go over just a few techniques today that we think would at least get the kiddos on some fish. So, Mitch, you want to start us off?
You know, it's probably one of my favorite things in all of fishing is when I bring kids out fishing. And I don't know how many kids I've gotten their first fish that, you know, I was with them, I set them up, and I just get a kick out of it. But kind of my key is, you know, go to a spot that's, you know, easy to get to, of course, because they're kids. So you got to make everything easy and be well prepared and everything. But I usually have the most luck just with a slip bobber, real small hook, and a little nub of crawler, you know, a little split shot on the line,
right.
Keeping it super simple. And, you know, when it comes down to it, with, you know, when we're talking perch, sunfish, you know, a lot of these different panfish, once you check out a little spot, they're either there or they're not, for the most part. You know, I might make a few adjustments depth wise. You know, maybe I bring that bait closer to the bottom or higher up in the water column, or cast it a little deeper or a little shallower. You know, I'll play around like that a little bit at each spot. But if I don't get bit right away, boom, we're moving. We're going to go, you know, down the shoreline 20 yards even.
Right.
Because those fish are all scattered out. They're going to be in certain spots, not in others. But when you do find them, you're gonna catch them.
Yeah, you're going to look for structure, like, and it's easy to see. So when you're going out planning your day, like Mitch said, make it easy. But when you walk up to the shoreline, look for the things that you can see from the shoreline. Like a perfect example would be like a submerged tree.
Right.
You know, that's going to hold those fish. They're going to just feel, because they're smaller, they're going to feel comfortable pressed up against that down timber. So, like Mitch said, a slip bobber works great. For those that haven't fished slip bobbers, a lot of times you're going to be fishing shallow, so you can use your regular clip bobber too. If that's what you have, it's better than nothing. But I would suggest this. If you're going to use a regular clip bobber, keep it small. Don't use one of those big red and white ones that are like 4 inches big.
Right.
I'm talking the small ones that are like an inch, you know, something like that, around
small
that size.
Ones, yeah.
And, you know, and you can use just a regular hook in about, let's say you're fishing like 7-8 feet of water where it looks like it's going to be that deep, because you don't have a depth finder, so it's a guessing game.
Right.
But a lot of times shores gradually go down. You can even cast out far enough with a Snoopy pole to get out, you know, 20 feet from the shoreline.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So if you're finding that submerged tree, I'm just going to focus on that. I always start off about 6 feet down, because it's easy to control to cast. So if you have a clip bobber, put it up, and now you can only reel it up, you're going to have 6 feet behind you. So that's going to be challenging, casting something that's 6 feet behind you. So you might want to go a little bit shorter. If you're using a longer rod, it's going to be easier. If you're using one of your rods, it's like 6.5-7 feet, it's going to be a lot easier.
Sure.
But if it's a little kid's rod, it's one of those Snoopy rods that are like 3 foot long, you're going to have struggles. So don't go that deep with them. But so I'll put just a regular hook on, but I want to talk really small. I'm talking like a hook that's probably got a width of it about 1/4 inch. We're talking a small, small hook.
So you're talking a size 1 or a double aught?
I'll tell you what, let me jump in here real quick.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the size is, because I never buy hooks small enough, you know, for these real small panfish. But years ago, that was my problem. My hook was too big, and I'd get bites, and my son Matt was standing there, you know, ready to go, and sorry, son, can't get them hooked. Well, what I found was Eagle Claw makes them, but they're pre-tied bait snells.
Yes.
Right.
And I don't know what that little hook is, but you can get a little six pack of them, and there's six little brass hooks, and they're tied to a little snell where I just cut that snell off and then tie it direct myself. But we are talking a little titch of a hook.
Yeah.
But those little small fish can get it in their mouth.
Right. Yeah.
So then I'll put that small hook on about 6-8 inches up. I'll put on 1/4 ounce split shot, just so you have a little bit of weight to cast out, because you're going to use a little piece of crawler, like about 1.5 inches of crawler, maybe a red worm, something like that, something small. If they have mealworms, that works too. But that's more for ice fishing. But I've caught them this time of year doing that. It's just meat down there for them. And then anywhere from 4 to 6 feet up. And start out, if you want, start out at 4 feet. Cast it out by that that tree. And if you don't get anything, raise it up, cast out. If you don't get anything, look for another tree. Look for some other structure. If you see a rock cropping sticking up or whatever that is, you have a stream that's coming in and all of a sudden you have a little bit of a eddy, like where the water now is not flowing there. It's kind of a slack water. Cast it in there. But be patient, but don't be too patient. Don't spend too much time, because when you find them, like Mitch said, they're going to be there. And once you find out the depth, it's going to be one after another.
Right. Yeah, and I can remember going as a kid with my dad, and, you know, we fished a lake that was a lake that filled up, and it had a lot of shale cliffs. And so if you have a lake with a lot of limestone or shale or whatever, and they're the deep drops, you know, that's where you can go and fish, like Brad was talking about, cast to the edge of those drops, and those fish will suspend all along those steep edges, and you'll catch crappie, bluegill, perch, I mean, whatever, you know, and however you want to rig it, don't use too much weight, just enough weight to get that bait down. Not too much weight to where it pulls the bobber under, and small minnows work well this time of year. I've caught a lot of big smallmouth casting from shore on bobbers, and boy, they just inhale those little minnows this time of year. So, you know, some presentation like that is usually the best.
Yeah, you know, for me, I like to go out if I can, and I've got my spots already, but I really like to go out and on my own, make sure the fish are biting before I bring the kids, just because I want to make it positive. That's kind of my key with bringing kids out fishing. I keep it fun. We keep it fast paced, you know, like I said, if we're not catching them right away, we move, you know, hey, it's right. An adventure for a kid, even if you're not catching fish. But, you know, my wife teases me quite a bit, because it's always when I bring the family out in the boat, it's like, okay, one more cast, one more pass. We're going to go hit this one area just one more time, you know, and I seem to drag it out. One more cast is another hour. And so I really, when I'm focusing on bringing kids, I really keep that in the back of my mind that no, their attention span isn't that long. And we want to keep it positive, have them be successful. And, you know, and if you're not catching fish, got to have the snacks, right?
Right. Oh, yeah, man, it's like a smorgasbord. You have to have snacks and drinks.
You know what? And, or if nothing else, skipping rocks, something.
Yeah.
You know, it's all part of it. It's the experience. And, you know, if sometimes it's only an hour. That's okay.
Right.
Yep. Kid doesn't know.
Well, I'm telling you right now, that is dad of the year if you are teaching them one more pass, one more cast. I'm telling you, right? Because the only reason you know that trick is because your dad pulled it on you. And so that's the way you learn, and you're teaching them, because, listen, it's always important to be able to work another cast or another pass, especially if you got mama in the boat, because they are counting the minutes. And if you tell them 30 minutes, when 30 minutes is up, boy, you're coming in. But if, you know, you're walking up and down the shore, you're like, one more cast, there's no time frame on that. That's a great trick. That's the way to do it.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, well, in for those of you who follow us, you've seen, you know, we have 8 kids between the three of us. So we have posted a lot of pictures on our Facebook page and our Instagram page and stuff of that, of us taking our kids fishing. So, you know, we call it All Eyes on Kids, and it's a big deal for us. We love to take our kids fishing. We want to pass it on to that next generation. We want them to be able to come out with us and, you know, someday maybe be one of our tournament partners or whatever. So, you know, doing it on the boat or doing it from shore, wherever you decide to do it, we all started on shore. I mean, I'm pretty sure that's where we all started out, and it's important to get out there and do that.
Yeah, you know, if you got someone that's a little bit older, you know, you got a kid that's 10, 11 that can cast themselves, so you don't have to stick just to the bobber technique. Put out a little eighth ounce or 32nd ounce tube jig.
Right.
And pitch that out there and let them work that back. Let them get used to casting, get good at casting. They get snagged up, break off, big deal.
Yep.
Don't make it negative. Don't keep, I know sometimes I've been frustrated. I'm like, God, here we go again. I got to tie back on.
Right.
But really what you're trying to do is just promote that and let them, you know, experience it.
Well, and teach them how to tie. I mean, I can remember, by the time I was, I don't remember how old, but pretty young, I was pretty self-sufficient. I tied on my own, you know, I went through my dad's, you know, the big green Plano tackle box.
Just full of junk.
Yeah, you pull out the tray and you look at stuff that looks like your grandpa used it after we came home from World War II. And, you know, and you're like, oh, well, I'm not using that. And you got your MEPS spinners just in case you go river fishing or, you know, I mean,
and
all.
And your Coca-Cola Daredevil.
Yeah, and your Coca-Cola Daredevil and your, you know, and then and being from Michigan, we had a bunch of lures that, like Eerie Deeries, that came from Michigan, you know, and we're not using those here. I mean, we didn't even have a boat to use them, so.
Yeah, but speaking of that, so I've taken my kids out, all right, and I've taken them from short. I have that, my short tackle box.
Right.
And it's nothing like the tackle box that I have when I'm tournament fishing or out on my boat, but it still has a pretty good selection. And sometimes I'll have some baits in there that are just, I've had them forever.
Right.
And I just don't throw them away, but they've just never done well.
Right.
And I remember taking my son out when he was probably 8 or 9, and he wanted to put on this, I don't even know what the heck it was, but it looked like a popper.
Yeah.
Like a frog, but it wasn't a pop. I have no idea what this bait was, and I don't even know where I got it, but okay.
Yeah.
You could cast it out there, and he did for about 10 minutes. He got bored with it, didn't catch anything.
Right, right.
Went back in the tackle box, but, you know, let them fish what they want.
Yeah.
To. Even if you know.
Right,
you know,
right.
It's probably, you never know. It's fishing.
We've all caught something on something that, you know, my dad looked at me and said, ah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and you go out there and before you know it, you're walking over holding a, you know, for me it was a lot of smallmouth, you know, and you'd walk over holding a smallmouth, you know, well, here you go, look at this. I guess it did work, Dad. So, yeah, that was always fun for me too. And I can remember, you know, that's how you start to learn. That's how you start to figure out. You know, I love watching when we all go fishing together, when we're pre-fishing for a tournament, you know, especially if we're fishing the same area together. It is, and you guys have mentioned this before, watching it from towards my boat, from your boat, it's constant motion. Like I watch you two and you're both, it's almost like you're rarely fishing at the same time if you're split up, like one's in the back, one's in the front. Like somebody's always changing. You're always re-rigging, you're always changing, you're always putting something on, trying to see what works. And, you know, you learn that as a kid. You learn that as a kid fishing from shore where you cast that stupid looking, green whatever it was, you know, and rusted hook. And then all of a sudden you're switching over to that, real cool looking MEPS with a rooster tail, you know, and you're casting that bad boy out there or whatever. And so you're right. I mean, that's where you learned. I mean, it was 5 casts and change. And not only that, but you got pretty damn good at tying that knot because you tied it 15 times, 20 times a night because, you know, I mean, at the very least, it keeps them occupied.
Yes.
And then while they're occupied, you can be doing a little big daddy fishing too, you know? So.
Yeah. There's a bunch of things that you can do with the kids on there. But, you know, we've touched on it a bunch is just keeping them busy. Don't plan on, and when you go out there, especially with the little ones, I mean, Mitch will take out a bunch of four or five-year-olds. Yeah. There'll be 6, 7 of them. And the only one real busy is Mitch. Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah.
These kids, there's probably 3 poles in the water because the rest of them are digging in the dirt. That's all part of it. That's part of fishing.
Right.
Just, they don't have to be catching anything. And then when one hooks up, oh, my God, they caught a 4-inch bluegill.
Yeah.
And everybody's excited.
Yep. So. Yeah, it is. The whole group.
Yeah. The whole group, yeah. And that's when going and finding those pods of crappie or perch are amazing or little smallies or whatever you're looking for. That's when that is just, it's priceless. I mean, looking for those fish, you can fish. You know, we didn't touch on it, but docks. If you have docks by where you live or if you have access to docks or where we are, they put those big tractor tires or whatever in the water to create those breaks and those kind of man-made jetties or whatever. You know, those fish hang out around those like crazy, especially the panfish. And so, you know, trees, big drop-offs, docks, dock houses, boat houses. You know, all of those hold just a ton of fish.
You know, another thing that I would do with my kids too is, and I've done this for years, is I will take my regular rod out and I will fish a bottom rig with just a bell sinker and a 3-way rig about 2 feet up with a 2-foot snell on it with a treble hook and a big piece of liver. I'm just going for a catfish.
Yeah.
Because I throw that out there while I'm busy. I tighten up my rod, let it sit on
the shore. Don't forget the Scott Wilson bell.
Yeah. Scott Wilson bell.
Yeah.
So, but you tighten that down, and while you're busy with them, you're watching that rod.
Yeah.
Because you can be busy fishing for these panfish, and I'm telling you, I've caught countless catfish our carp sitting there.
Yeah.
The kids don't care.
No.
You know, so that thing's out there doing work the whole time while you're busy.
Right.
Tying on, breaking off, doing whatever you're doing, skipping rocks, whatever.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, going on what Mitch said at the last one when we talked about doing the Lindy rigs, you know, you could do the same thing going for the walleye or the big smallies. You know, you put on that big size minnow or that big sucker minnow or whatever. You put that bad boy out there on a Lindy rig, let it swim around. It's still doing the same work. And, you know, you're looking for a little quality where you're trying to get quantity and, you know, often, and a lot of times we've seen,
a 2-3 pound catfish. It's, they're having a great
time. Oh, absolutely. Or like you said, I mean, even every once in a while, you know, that northern will swim through and pick it up or, you know, some big game fish. And before you know it, it's off and running and, they're just holding on for dear life. So, you know, that's another great point is, you know, you throw that rig out there and who knows what you're going
to do. You never know.
You know, and a lot of nights casting and fishing and doing that off the shore. I mean, I grew up fishing off the shore and, you know, it was a great time.
Yeah, no, it's a good time. It's a good way to get them involved and, you know, cause daddy's always going out fishing or mom's always going out fishing and to get them out on the water and get them with that same passion that we have is crucial because it is a great time.
It is. Get them away from the electronics, get them off the personal devices, get them with a fishing pole in their hand. And, you know, at the very least you kill half a Saturday and you come back and watch the Broncos kill the Cowboys. You know, I mean, something like that. That's awesome. So,
anything else you guys have on that or?
No, I think the other little tip is, you know, low light conditions, morning, evenings is probably the best time to go out just because the fish are going to be shallower. They're going to be more active. You can catch them during the midday, especially these panfish we're talking about, but evenings are great. You know, after school, before dark.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take much to get down there, get out there real quick.
Make a picnic with them. Go out there, fish, have a little sandwich.
Yeah, or something. Taco Bell on the way down, whatever you need.
They'll love it. So yeah. So I appreciate everybody listening to this. Hopefully, you get your kids out fishing. If you have any questions, make sure you're asking us because we want to take everybody to the next level, especially those little ones.
Yeah. And so in the future, we will continue to post pictures of our kids, and we'll label it All Eyes on Kids. So if you have pictures of your kids catching fish and you want to share them with us, send it to alleyesonfishing@gmail.com, and we'll go ahead and post pictures on All Eyes Kids kids catching fish. So. Until next time, get them out there.
Thanks, everyone.
This has been All Eyes on Fishing. Join us again next time as we discuss your favorite topics. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and visit our website, alleyesonfishing.com, helping you to fish your next level.